Well, we are back.
Yes, we are.
This is a wonderful Wednesday afternoon.
It's really bordering towards the evening.
Oh, yeah, that's right. It's it's now 6:50 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here in the States.
You know what I heard?
What's that?
I was talking to some horrible person today, some lady. I don't know even who she was, but she said, probably a passenger. And she said, you know, now that it's August, it's getting darker already.
Right.
What the fuck? It's still summertime. It's getting dark already?
Right. It gradually starts to, like, happen.
It's only August 9th.
Right.
Jesus Christ. it's ridiculous. I forgot who told me that.
Yeah.
But when she said it, I was like, are you fucking kidding me? Now it's gonna get dark now at 5 p.m. Now it's like
we got some time before that. Like,
we have a little time, but I feel, you know, the urgency of time. I told you how I feel about the summer. It's fleeting. It's fleeting. Everything's fleeting. Everything's dying and fleeting.
So how did you feel about your summer so far?
Well, I feel like it's fleeting. I mean, like, you know, I mean it was. I did some fun things, you know, but I do feel like I can't really enjoy the fun things because I know that everything's temporary and we're all going to die.
Right.
So, but if it's the winter, it's okay to die because everything's dead. The trees are dead. The bushes are dead. Everything's dead.
Right.
In the summertime, you're supposed to be having the time of your life.
Right.
So that's why I'm not having the time of my life because there's an expectation that I should have the time of my life. You know what I mean?
Well, I know exactly what you mean. It's an unnecessary pressure.
It is, but it is necessary because we have sunshine. We have, you know, I went to the shore the other day thinking, oh, right, I was going to have the time of my life. I didn't have the time of my life.
Yeah, would you walk along the boardwalk there? Or?
I told you I had an emergency. Did I tell you the story? I forget what we tell each other off the show. I felt a little, I ate something a little wrong.
Uh-oh.
And then
this is like the one episode of Seinfeld where George regales the story of when he was about to.
Yeah, I felt a rumbling.
Oh man,
you know, and I knew, but it wasn't like a dire emergency. But you know, it was tricky because I had to park the car like 10 minutes off the beach. So the beach is crowded, but I did find a spot. But now I'm like walking around. And I'm like, oh my god, and then I had time to kill, so I ate something else. Knowing that I already have something in the chamber, you know?
Right.
So now whatever I'm eating is going to push the original.
You didn't find a way to...
Well, the problem with the shore is that... I mean, typically what happens is people go to the bathroom in that situation.
Right.
But the problem is, in the shore, is you have a limited amount of bathrooms, and you don't want to use the obvious ones because the whole world is using them, and they're disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like... Vietnam, right. It looks like Hiroshima bombed, you know. I took a look, and I took a gander, and I was like, oh my god, this is disgusting. No.
If it's any consolation, I guarantee you the women's bathroom look 10 times worse than the men's.
It's not comforting to me because I'm a man. but I'm sure there were tampons everywhere, and like, you know, I mean, we don't have the tampon issue.
Right, but I'm sure, I'm even just like bodily.
Yeah, species. No, I'm sure. I mean, it's the shore, it's, you know, I mean, you don't.
It's not exactly.
It's not.
People of all types go down there.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I mean, British Mark, it's kind of like the bottom of the barrel sometimes in terms of humanity.
Yeah.
You see a lot of unattractive people. Mm-hmm. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but, you know, they're. It's and people, they, you know, they throw feces around, you know, like monsters. So anyway, okay, so now I'm walking around. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna probably have to use the facilities at some point. but the question is, what do I do? So, and then I ate like something that really was not good, like fish and chips, you know, because at the shore you can't get good food. It's all fish and chips and hamburgers, and
mm-hmm.
So now I'm eating that. And I'm like, oh my god, this is a license to kill right here. so then I start pacing and walking around. And I'm like, because you know how, like, I know, like, you don't, sometimes it's hard to gauge, like, how close you are to the evacuation.
Right.
And I don't want to deal with this. I just came for a relaxing night at the shore, you know, to see a con. And now I'm dealing with bodily issues. Okay, so I'm walking around. I can't go to the, you know, I go to the Paramount where we once had fish and chips. Remember the bar?
Fries. Oh yeah, that one.
Yeah, with the waitress. And, yeah, that's where Bruce Springsteen sometimes does rehearsals. It's called the Paramount Theater. Anyway, that's disgusting. I'm not using that bathroom. Mm. So now I'm walking around, and then I get to the last resort. What's the last resort? The gay hotel. Nobody. That's always clean. The gay people, they keep it clean. So now I'm like, okay, now. But I don't want to, you know.
Did you like rent a room for the night just to use a bathroom?
No, but I did go. I go up there and there's two like very, you know, very manly, not manly, but very muscly guys.
Right.
They're like, I'm like, is there a cover charge to go in here? And they go, no, but we can't guarantee that later there won't be a cover charge. I don't know what the fuck that means.
This is a hotel?
Yeah, well, this is the door. I think I went to a side entrance of the hotel, so it's like a pool. But I figured there's got to be a bathroom there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a pool entrance of the hotel. And I don't know. So then, but they're looking at me strangely, like they know I'm going to, like I need to use the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
And so then I go in, so I don't pay, and I do find a bathroom there. But now I'm kind of scared because it's like, you know, it's a notorious gay hotel, and I'm very attractive, and I'm afraid that, you know, I'm afraid that I might get jumped in the hotel. You never know.
All right.
But anyway, but the mission was successful, but this took like an hour out of my life, you know, and then, because I think I actually attempted to go into the club. I went to the Stone Pony where Bruce used to play when he was, you know, so it's a famous spot, but it's nothing to write home about. It's like a dive bar. And this was a sold-out show for Mr. John Eddy. So it was really packed. There was no way I could use it. I thought about using the bathroom there originally. And I was like, there's no way. This is even more gross than the other place.
Mm-hmm.
So the gay hotel seemed like the best option. So anyway, then I did that. Then I had to walk all the way back. And I actually was going to pull something that you might have done. I almost thought of just leaving.
Oh,
like,
yeah?
Like, it was so crowded.
Damn.
And the pony has, like, it has like a front, you know, area, not a front, but like a major part. And then there's a back area that where the doors open. So you get some ventilation, but it was really, really, really crowded with, but I actually did leave before the show ended, but I saw like an hour.
Yeah.
And I also was going to see him 2 days later in Philadelphia, but that got canceled because he got laryngitis.
Oh shit.
So, he apologized. So anyway, that whole night, it was just very peculiar and odd, and it wasn't relaxing at all. But we were going to do like a comparison of concerts, right?
Right.
Because I do believe there is a band that's bigger than John Eddy. Their name is Metallica.
Right. I mean, people may have heard of them. British Mark Metallica.
I think he knows.
Okay.
I mean, like, if British Mark doesn't know who Metallica is, then he's a bigger loser than we didn't originally think.
Right.
I mean, like, he must. Metallica's been around forever.
They've been around
for
a long time. Their first album came out 40 years ago. And Hetfield actually, last week, the week before, turned 60.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right, 60, which is, you know, the new 60.
That's right.
So the first album was what year?
1983.
1983.
I actually just listened to, see, it's 10 tracks. I listened to 9/10 of it during my workout last night.
So, well, the first record hold up, you think?
Oh, absolutely.
What's the name of it?
Kill 'Em All.
All right, Kill 'Em All. That's the first record?
Yep.
Huh, I thought it was like the third or fourth.
Nope.
I guess I was wrong.
And they started strong right off the bat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this was a big deal because you got a ticket a long time ago.
I did. Got my ticket back in like late March, early April.
Right, which is a very bold move because like when you told me you got a ticket, I was like, huh,
mm-hmm.
You got a ticket.
Got a ticket.
You got a ticket because this is something that I do a lot, but this is not something that you don't do that often.
Exactly, exactly. So, I was very bold, but you know, I last saw Metallica back in 2009,
and I knew I did want
to see them again, and it was for a while there. I was thinking, you know, I would like to go see more live acts.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So just to set the scene, so
right,
it's Sunday. I have my ticket. I go to the train station. I take the train.
Right.
Take the train to Newark.
Right.
And so the train ride was, you know, as expected, went smoothly without a hitch. You know?
Right. Nobody kidnapped anybody. Nobody. There was no bomb threat.
There was no problem there.
Okay.
You know, I'm riding there. It's so far, so good. It's pretty great. Overall, my okay. So this was the interesting thing.
Okay.
So my how I felt about the experience has been one of those things that has been influenced by time. So like, I get there around.
This is good because you discovered time a few episodes ago.
That's right.
Yeah, so now you're using it.
That's right.
This is very exciting.
So, I got there probably around right before 5.
You got to the stadium, or you got to the train? Stadium? Oh, stadium! Really? Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay.
And
that's early.
Yeah. So, because I knew like it started at 6, but the next train didn't get there until like just before 6.
I know what you mean. It's hard to do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I get there and I find what I thought was my seat. Sat in the area.
Did you have to walk a long time from the train station to the
place? Actually, no, it wasn't bad. It was like you get off the train, go off the ramp, and like the entrances are just off like to the right.
Nice.
So it was a pretty relatively short walk.
Okay.
Have you been to MetLife Stadium?
I have, but it's been a long time. I saw Bruce there a few times. But like the woman that I know that went to Metallica and she drove there, she said it was a nightmare and it took her forever to find the car.
Yeah.
And she said it was like a 2-hour walk.
Yeah, I'm glad I took the train.
Right.
Like, except for the fact that I had to like leave early.
Right.
But I did still get to see them play for like an hour and a half, so that wasn't bad.
Right.
I read that like I think in terms of their set list, I only missed maybe like 3 songs.
Really?
Okay. So that wasn't too bad.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
So I get there and I'm sitting there. I have a much better view than I was expecting. Now, but I didn't buy food or drinks or merchandise because I really didn't. I was being cheap. I didn't really want to spend any money.
Right.
So I'm sitting there and it was actually kind of nice because like it was at a much better view than I was expecting. The sun, I was sitting in the shade. It was great.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people smoking weed everywhere. It was,
right.
I was getting secondhand.
Right.
I wasn't really feeling high, but you know.
Yeah.
And so the first cover, the first opener, which I was only expecting one opener, comes on. Ice Nine Kills, I'd heard of them, but I'd never heard any of their songs.
Right.
They're okay. You know, there's some of the newer metal acts I'm not the biggest fan of.
Right.
But
right.
Yeah, they are.
Right.
Then they get off, and it was over during the course of this, I'm starting to think, because you know, like they have the layout when you're in like the concourse walking around, you see like the signs for like the sections. Like, so I was in section 329.
Right.
So it was like section 328. I was in 329, row 17, seat 18.
Right.
So then, you know, I go through the one tunnel. It's like on the right, supposed to be 328, the left 329. So I take the left side.
Uh-huh.
I'm going up it was a fucking steep walk up too. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah.
But, so I'm looking, I'm like, oh, I get to like row 17, but I wasn't thinking correctly. Like to the right, started with 1, to my left was like the higher numbers.
Right.
So it's like, all right, so I'm toward the higher end, so I'm just going to go this way. So I'm like, during Ice 9, I think I'm actually sitting in the wrong section, 328.
Right.
So after they got done, I walked and wound up going to like where I was actually supposed to be sitting, which
right.
is good because as time went on, more people came in, so I knew I probably would have had to move anyway because I was probably sitting in someone else's seat.
Mm-hmm.
Then, you know, all of a sudden, time goes by. All of a sudden, you know, some music starts to play. You see someone walk onto like the rounded stage. I'm like, all right, here we go. But I'm thinking on the view screens, it's like, that's the 5-finger death punch symbol thing, whatever.
Right.
And it turns out it's them. Like, oh, fuck. I didn't know they were playing too.
Right.
I mean, they did do their cover of Bad Company, which is like pretty much the only thing that they've done that I enjoy.
Oh, yeah. You mean Bad Company from Bad Company?
Yeah.
Bad Company, that one?
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Paul Rogers, who's from Bad Company?
Right.
Who's not nominated for the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Exactly.
Just saying. Okay. Yep.
I actually was reading something the other day. Foreigner's also not in there.
I know.
And they're like, so many people in the comments are like, you know, there's so many people, so many acts,
right.
Great acts from the era that are never going to get
in. Yeah, but thank God Janet Jackson is in.
Oh,
and
God.
Fucking Def Leppard is in.
And, well, Def Leppard, I can understand.
Not compared to Bad Company and Foreigner.
Right.
But anyway, they can pour some sugar elsewhere.
Right. I'll say you can't compare Janet Jackson to Def Leppard because Def Leppard's actually rock.
Yeah, that's debatable. To me, Def Leppard is a little...
Well, they're metal.
Yeah,
but they're glam metal, which is...
Yeah, we can argue about this. To me, they're not... They're like a fake metal band. But anyway, but that's another story.
I still enjoy them.
They're okay. But, I don't need their sugar.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
So I'm sitting there.
Okay, so what's the name of the band?
Five Finger Death Punch.
Five Finger Death Punch?
Yeah.
Wow, what a name.
Yeah.
If I walked into a bar and I said, my name is Danny Five Finger Death Punch...
Maybe. See, I wouldn't mind them as much because I actually enjoyed their choruses.
Yeah.
But it's when the lead singer is like singing the verses.
Yeah.
He's screaming. It's that. I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah. I would hate that too. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, like for this, he didn't do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So that went on for a good like
40 minutes.
45 minutes to an hour.
Right.
To the point where Metallica didn't get on until like close to 9.
Right.
And I'd already been there for like three hours. And I was like, fuck this,
man. Right. I know.
And it was getting really cramped, you know, like people all around me. So like,
right.
But once they finally got on,
right.
That's when like the batteries recharged. That's when it was awesome.
Right.
And it was awesome throughout like the remainder of the show until I left. And
right.
But, you know, like, it was one of those things where, like, as time went on, like, throughout the rest of the night, as I'm riding home on the train, I'm like, you know, the it was kind of like an even split in terms of
right.
my enjoyment versus the non-enjoyment, because the non-enjoyment part was
right.
the logistics part and
with all that. Yeah. And the waiting.
Yeah.
I know. I have to endure opening bands half my life. Mm-hmm. I've had to endure opening bands.
Yeah.
It's not easy. I mean, like, the opening band that I saw somebody that same night, but it was a much smaller place. Actually, it was a pretty big place for the people that I see.
Mm-hmm.
But did I see the opening band? No.
No?
No. And she was actually pretty good. I could tell. She was bluesy. I was just like, you know, I was creating a scene I had dinner with the Carpenters, you know, so it was me, Melissa, and these people that I only see. We went to see this guy, Paul Thorne, who's this cool blues, even a little country, but like cool. He's a cool guy. Like he's just, and he's funny as shit too. He's just, you know, and it's really rock, but it's got touches of country, touches of blues, probably more blues. Anyway, so I befriended this guy, Jeff Carpenter, and apparently every time now Paul Thorne plays, he calls me up and goes, "Hey, we're having dinner." I'm like, I don't really want to have dinner with Jeff Carpenter, but, you know. So anyway, so now Melissa and I are there with the Carpenters. We're having, you know, beers and dinner. And Jeff Carpenter wants to talk about music all the time. And I'm like, he's almost like a little autistic-y, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he's like, and like, he'll laugh at something. By the way, in 1978, I saw Kansas. They opened up for Toto. And like, who cares? And then his wife is like, he was there in 78. I'm like, I don't give a fuck. Oh my God. So then, you know, but we finally go into the place and there's a cool woman, attractive, playing the blues. She's the opening lady, but we, you know, I was like, you know what? I'd probably have more fun just going outside and busting on people. So we go outside, and the Carpenters are there. They're drinking. I'm drinking. And we befriended this other couple who were there on their first date.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, and the woman was out of her mind. She was actually from Asbury Park, so we talked about Asbury Park. And the guy that she was dating, I can't...
Were they, like, older or younger?
Yeah, she looked pretty old, but he seemed like a Marine kind of guy.
Oh, okay.
And I kind of liked him, even though, according to the woman, he made her change her clothes.
Oh, yeah.
So she made it seem like maybe he was kind of an asshole.
Right.
But I she was kind of drunk, so I didn't know who to believe.
Yeah.
You know? But I kind of liked him because he said he liked Paul Thorne, never saw him. And then he kept looking at me, he goes, "You're funny, you're funny." He was kind of drunk, too. I mean, the whole scene was bizarre. And then I just kept saying... I just kept busting on them because they were, like, easy to make fun of, you know? So, anyway, the whole scene was bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
And then she told me, she's announcing to everybody, "Oh, he's mad at me because he tried to have sex with me a few nights ago, and I said no." And I'm like, okay, well, You know, he's a man. He's going to try to have sex with you, and you should take it. I mean, you don't have to have sex with him, but it's a flattering that he wants to have. He could not want to have sex with you. That's what I was doing.
Oh, yeah.
And she was like, huh, I never thought of that. You know, just,
oh, my God.
It was a bizarre.
Holy shit.
But I didn't see the opening, you know, even though I thought that she was good. But it just seemed like, you know the problem with blues? The blues thing, it's kind of repetitive.
Yeah, so it's like one note.
Yeah, so unless somebody is really amazing at the blues, like Paul Thorne does a little blues, but it's more within, he's got actual songs that have the blues in it.
It's kind of like the Stones.
Yeah.
The guy got like an eclectic sound.
Totally.
Blues
totally,
and country totally, rock.
Totally. And then, but then you have some blues songs that are just blues and then not really a song.
Yeah.
So that's a huge difference there. And I think she was more of the blues.
Oh, really? Yeah.
So it was a great, and then, you know, we didn't have seats together, but then I was able to get seats together. I had to talk to the management.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It was a whole thing, but it was very different from your experience. And then at the end, Paul Thorne goes into the audience and he dances with us. He dances with Melissa. I have video. So I imagine James Hetfield didn't go into the audience.
No, he stayed up there on the...
Yeah.
Which was a wise move, because the whole like area in front was like packed with people.
Yeah, it was like a pit section, yeah. Right? Did you see... was there a big video screen everywhere that you could see the video?
Oh, yeah.
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 Yeah, I mean, so...
I took some videos, too. Like the one... Probably one of my favorite solos of all time is... Kirk Hammett's solo in Ride the Lightning.
Right.
And they played that, and like I recorded the video of the screen of him doing that solo. It was like...
Nice.
It was like, there's a certain point where it builds, there's the slightest bit of a pause, then it just goes into crazy. Like, once that extremely minute pause happened, and he started to go into that crazy section, the crowd just lost it.
Yeah.
It was great.
Yeah.
He still maintained it. It was great.
Did they do Nothing Else Matters that night?
Because
they don't do that every night.
I don't recall. I don't know if they did that one. They did do The Unforgiven, which I wasn't.
Right.
So here's the thing. So I still stand by my preference for studio cuts over live.
Right.
And I think it's just because I'm so used to them. It's like The Unforgiven comes on.
Right.
And, you know, the original recording from 91 on the Black Album, you know, James Hetfield's, his voice is still... I don't know if it was something that he lost the ability to sing so high.
Right.
Or if it's just something he prefers not to do anymore.
Right. Probably a little both.
Yeah. So, like, most of that, it's sung in like a high pitch.
Yeah.
Whereas now, like this one, he sang it really low.
He lowers it,
It wasn't as good.
Yeah.
Still a great song, but.
Right. Yeah, if Freddie Mercury was alive today, he'd probably be singing the songs in a lower. He'd probably sound like Leonard Cohen or something. Oh. Like, you know, Mother just killed the man. You know, it would be like. Because even back then, at the height of Freddie Mercury, he still didn't really go as high as the records.
Yeah.
So, you know. But James Hetfield could probably get, you know, most of his songs are, like, angry, you know, so.
Yeah, he, like, especially, it's, like, beginning in, like, the, I would say, like, in the, around the Load era was when he, I noticed, at least, was that when that's when he started to take more of, like, a deeper.
Yeah.
He had that more of a growly, like, approach to his singing. It's kind of stuck since then.
Right. Well, let's look at the bright side here. The bright side is you didn't spend an enormous amount of money.
Fuck yeah. No, if I had the money for box seats,
right,
I would totally do it. I totally would.
Well, I usually don't have the money, and somehow I do spend the money. You know, like now I have the dilemma of Springsteen next week. He's got two shows in Philly.
Oh, right.
I don't have tickets
yet. And he's playing at MetLife at the end of August.
I got those. I got that, too. I got those problems. He's got three MetLifes and two Phillies. Oh, yeah.
Guns N' Roses is playing the 15th at MetLife.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Guns N' Roses.
I just feel like I can actually start contributing now to like the concert conversation.
Yeah, of course you can. You can contribute if you know, even if you don't go.
Right.
Guns N' Roses,
they should have, like when they pretty much,
The hunger is not there.
Yeah, after Use, they should not have done anything else beyond the.
Nobody gave a shit about Chinese Democracy.
I used to have it. And I sold it. I was like, this is just a terrible.
It was a terrible record. And that was so hyped because they worked on it for so long. But, you know, I mean, I shouldn't say. I haven't seen them, so I don't want to. But I just don't really care, you know.
Appetite and Use Your Illusion, in my mind, that's it for them. That's all you need.
Yeah. But all my ex-girlfriends like them, too, so which pisses me off, you know? Like, if I didn't have my ex-girlfriends to deal with, I'd probably like Guns N' Roses more. But because all of them have left me and deserted me, then I feel like I want to desert the band. The band reminds me of them, you know what I mean?
Well, I don't feel that way about any... Like, if like, one of my exes liked certain bands, I would still like the bands.
Yeah, but I didn't love Guns N' Roses to begin with. I mean, that the first album, Appetite, I mean, you know every song, so it kind of lost its magic a long time ago.
So long ago that when I finally discovered it, it was still long dead at that point. I discovered it back in 2006.
Yeah.
That's when I discovered it. I was familiar with them, but I had really 2006. 2006 was a good year. 2006 was, you know, I turned 20, got my Mustang, and I was looking to get, like, some good tunes to listen to.
Right.
And that was when I first got – that was the first, like, CDs I bought for that were Back in Black by AC/DC and then Guns N' Roses Greatest Hits, which I eventually did get all their studio albums.
Right.
Now that there were many. And that was, like, the following September. See, this is the other thing about music and memory. So when I first got into Metallica, really got into them, was in the fall of 2006. So a lot of times when I listen to Metallica's music, especially for some reason, Load and Reload, I think just because I actually had Unforgiven 2 on repeat so much back then, when I listened to those albums, I think back to the fall of 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like transported back, and it's really interesting.
But, what happened in the fall? Besides the music, what happened in the fall?
Well, it was kind of like a time when I was.
I was young,
and I was just looking.
Was there a lot of sex involved?
Well, I finally lost my virginity in the fall of 2006.
Oh, I'm still haven't lost my virginity. I keep waiting.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Does it feel good?
It's all right. Yeah.
Did you lose it while you were? It's funny we say lose it. It's a funny term, like to lose your virginity. It's like why don't we say you gain something? Why do you lose it? You know what I mean?
I gained pussy.
that's a nice gain.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I don't know if I've ever gained pussy, but I definitely didn't lose a dick. You know,
so, right?
Because I'm not gay. But anyway. Because
what being gay have to do with losing a dick?
Well, I'm just saying, like, losing.
I mean, unless you're like, is it like leprosy where like your dick just like falls off?
I don't know. I don't know what happens in the gay world. I don't know. Maybe there is a leprosy situation. I don't know.
We don't need to make assumptions.
We don't. I'm sure it feels good for whoever feels like they want to go that way.
But anyway, I think we got off topic.
So you gained. So, but when you were gaining the
I was gaining intercourse.
We're getting intercourse with a feminine part. Were you
listening? I was not listening to Metallica.
No. That'd be probably hard music to kind of fuck to, you know, Metallica. Yeah.
I mean, I did once fuck to What I've Done by Linkin Park.
Wow.
But that's tame compared to Metallica.
Yeah, I think Metallica, I think even someone who someone who really likes sex aggressively would probably be, you know, that's a hard thing to live up to, you know. Like, I usually choose very tame music, like very mellow music, so I could seem more the aggressor, you know, in comparison to the music, you know.
Play Lionel Richie?
I would play Lionel, because then I would seem manly, you know. Yeah. I haven't done, I think I would lose my erection, though. I don't think I could stay hard for Lionel Richie. But I have done, like, very, like, you know, atmospheric, female...
Enya?
Enya, because Enya's a little too popular for that.
Oh,
right. I like to seem cool, because I am cool.
Right.
And I like to do obscure, Enya-esque.
Enya-esque.
But not Enya.
But not Enya.
Right, that would be like, that's too popular.
Right.
Like, you know, whenever somebody says New Age, oh, I listen to Enya. Like, ah, fuck you, with your fucking Enya.
Which means, I know two songs from her.
Watermark.
One is from Lord of the Rings,
right.
Let It Be, or May It Be.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was the one from the 90s where it was like...
The Watermark one. Yeah. Everybody knows that one. Yeah.
Yeah.
My grandmother knows that.
Oh, really?
Yeah, even though she's passed on. Yeah. But anyway, yeah, here's a question. Would you rather have music, and let's say we ever get laid ever again,
not to each other.
Oh my God, we're so pathetic. To women,
right?
Would you rather do it to music or not to music?
Not to music.
Really?
I very rarely ever had music going on.
I've had more music going on than not.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to hear the breathing. You know what I mean? Like, it's nice to kind of lose yourself in it. You know what I mean? I don't want to hear my breathing. I don't want to hear her breathing.
I kind of like the noises they make.
But what if she's awesome, but the noises that she makes aren't pleasing? What if she doesn't make it?
I'm one of those people. As long as they're enjoying it, whatever their noise they're making, right, actually is a turn on.
But how do you know they're enjoying it? Maybe she's faking it. You don't know. If you play the music, you don't care.
Well, I care, because then if I get a sense that they're faking it,
because
I feel.
I mean, they're probably not faking it. And faking it, that's a big
production. I think it's an overused, like, concept.
It is. I mean, for a woman to actually... Let's go through this.
Believe me, I've had women not be shy about... Well, they may not say it right away, but I can definitely tell if they didn't enjoy it, so...
Yeah. But the whole thing about faking is... It's a big production to fake, you know? And usually the women that I'm with are sort of intoxicated by a certain point of the evening. So, like, for them to actually fake it would be, like, a lot of work.
That, and also, like, you figure, I'm definitely not, like, the... You figure, if a woman's going to fake it, she's going to fake it for someone that she wants to feel good about the situation. I'm not that guy.
Right, they're not going to go out of your way to make you feel good. Yeah. That's actually good.
Yeah.
Then there's no expectations, you know what I mean? Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea if a woman is enjoying sex with me or not. I have no clue.
Well, it's because you're always playing music.
But I like it. I like it. And now when you have Spotify, you know, back then, I had to put it on a CD, you know?
Oh, yeah.
And now I'd be like, wait, darling. And then I would have to, like, wait to the song cues. And then I would press forward and rewind. And she'd be like, what the fuck?
And at the same time, maintaining your erection.
Yeah, which is not easy, or her interest.
Right, yeah.
Like, I had plenty of times when she lost interest by the time I got to the right song.
Yeah.
She's like, well, I'm not in the mood anymore, but it's the right song! And then she leaves home. And she goes home, and I'm left alone.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, all right. That happened. No, I hear you. I've had times when there was no music. But if I had a preference, I would say music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in the background.
Right.
You can hear the moaning and the feelings and the breathing and the music. But anyway, that's never going to happen again. You've seen the match that I have today on the British Mark. I get, you know, I belong to these dating sites. And, you know, once in a while I share by text, you know, the women that are interested in me lately, and they're one is,
oh.
is a, I mean, the one today really takes the cake. She has eaten a lot of cake. She has eaten a tremendous amount of cake. I've never seen, she literally looked like a monster, and we don't know what her name is. But I'm not exaggerating.
Well, isn't her name on the?
I deleted it.
Oh, okay.
I can't take it. Yeah. What made her think that that I would be interested in her is beyond me.
I really,
I'm not exaggerating.
I still don't understand how she ever could have thought that was a great profile pic. Holy shit!
No, I think that's her best picture.
Oh my God!
No, she really was. I'm not exaggerating. She was the ugliest woman you've ever seen, right?
I mean, I'm willing to give a lot of people the benefit of the doubt. God damn.
I know. I just imagine you being at work and getting like, oh!
Like, you sent that to me. I actually had, like, I got a coworker next to me. I had, and it's very quiet upstairs. Also, I'm like, I had to, like, bite my tongue to, like, not burst out laughing.
Yeah. Holy no, this shit. Is, I felt like it's something that I needed to share.
Yeah, because I appreciate it.
Because I was, you know, I'm doing my day at work, and I'm like, all right, somebody liked me. How bad could this be? And then I'm like, oh, it's bad. Oh, my God. And this is like, you know, I think she was the worst one, but I've had pretty bad ones in the last few months. It's really taking a toll on my self-esteem.
Understandably.
I used to get first of all, I used to get attractive women. Then it went down to semi-attractive women, and now it's monsters. Now it's just humongously obese monsters that are interested in yours truly. What am I supposed to do? It's good material, but it's also like,
it's really disheartening.
They think I have a shot. Luckily, they live like, imagine if she, I mean, they live far away too. Yeah. Like, that's enough. I also had a 35-year-old lady today, like, reach out to me. She wasn't like hideous, but she was three. It's gotta be a scam, you know? Anybody under like 60, yeah, whatever.
Yeah.
So anyway, I mean, but the funny thing is I almost wanted to like say something to the hideous one just to see what her conversational skills are like. Because like, I got me more power to her. She thinks she's hot enough to date me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, more power. You know, that's wonderful.
Pretty bold. Pretty bold.
You know what would be amazing? If she actually was hot and she just used that picture as a barometer to weed out the bad guys.
Yeah.
That would be a good movie.
Does she have other pictures?
No, I didn't look.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think so. And then it's usually followed by a very generic line in their profile. Like, I like
sewing and
massages,
long walks on the beach with my dog.
Yeah, right. I don't like pizza and ice cream, even though I look like I do. Oh my god! But anyway,
don't judge. LOL.
No, I'm not. LOL. That fucking LOL. God damn it. Oh, do you think they have LOL in Britain and England? In England, they must, right? Laughing out loud.
I think so. Laughing out loud may be more of an American thing. Perhaps Britain is more like.
They're more
think,
like.
Then you think I'm going to come up with a doozy.
All right, man.
Snickering.
I was going to say sipping. Snickering. Okay.
Snickering. Snickering. E. Under.
Okay. Under.
So, snickering within an acceptable volume.
Wow. So that would be. Okay, I was thinking more like sipping ever so politely tea. You know, something like that. That's not even. Okay, all right. Sipping tea ever so politely.
Sipping tea ever so politely.
Yeah. But I like yours too. What was yours?
Snickering within acceptable volume.
Snickering.
Yep.
With acceptable volume. Because the Brits are very concerned about the volume.
Right. Right.
Laughing out loud. So there wouldn't be like uncontrollable laughter. It'd be like acceptable. No, it'd
be like.
Imagine if British Mark really laughs out loud, like, and his wife was like,
he's like, ha!
He's like, oh, they did not say that. And then his wife is like, what are you doing? I'm watching Fawlty's Towers. I'm not listening to As Is at all. I'm not doing that. But anyway, we digress. We digress. We digress.
Digress.
So, we were doing well in the music. Until I digressed. We went to sex. We went to Metallica and sex.
Well, that's because I brought up the whole 2006 thing because of the music memory connection.
Right. Listen, music and memory are
intertwined. Mm-hmm.
Somebody again on a site today. I guess they saw that I liked music. She goes, I can't live without music. I'm like, oh, cool. What are you into? No response.
Wow.
She just says, I can't live without it. Like, what the fuck? It's amazing that they even reach out. So what? Did I say something wrong? Like, she says music. So is it a natural to say, what are you into? It's unbelievable. It's un-fucking believable.
Fucking
it makes
bullshit.
Me want to sip tea ever so gingerly or something like that. So anyway, but you said that now you've had a few days to process the Metallica experience. So at first you were kind of like a little down on it. You weren't sure if it...
Yeah, to me, like the whole experience as a whole,
right,
between the positives and the negatives, evened out. So like I, at right. the time, like right. I said, like...
But if you had a better seat, if you had a better seat...
If I had a better seat and if I maybe had gone later... Which right. I think a lot of it could be chalked up to like rookie mistakes, you know, going...
Yeah.
At the same time, it's like, all right, so technically, even though I didn't pay as much as a lot of people did, it's like, you right. know, technically, part of the cost is seeing the opener. So if I'm missing the opener, I'm already kind of like losing the
value. No, I wouldn't look at it that way. No. I would actually say that you're gaining, because you're gaining energy.
That's true.
That you're conserving for Metallica. Like, a lot of times, if you're seeing an opener that you don't like so much, you're losing energy because you're like, why am I sitting here? I don't like these guys.
Yeah.
And then you're getting more depleted.
That's true.
If I don't see the opener, then I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm here for Metallica. You know?
Oh, okay.
That's the way I look at it. Mm-hmm. And then, but if you have an opener that's just okay, then you're not losing energy or getting, you're like...
It's the Jay Silverberg effect.
Oh, God. Well, see, with him... Okay, Jay Silverberg is a comedian that he's not quite...
Is he?
Well, he's a rookie opener...
Right.
But yes, I would say he's a comedian, but you know, even Barry Manilow is a musician, you know what I mean? He's a musician, you don't always like him.
Right.
So, but I would say that I don't lose energy watching him because I love to see him bomb. So I get a charge out of it, you know what I mean? Like it's almost like, because then I feel like I could do it. Like I could probably get up there. And so I think if you're like turned on by something, even if it's making fun of the person, you're still gaining energy. You know what I mean? But if you just hate the experience, then you're just gonna feel so. Yeah, you know. But you know, I mean, the thing with Springsteen is he usually doesn't have an opener, so at least it kind of sucks to get into the stadium and to question that you just paid $300 to see this guy. But then when it starts, like you're not completely angry.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. But I don't know. Like I can't afford all five shows. That's out of the question.
So yeah, that even if you got like nosebleeds, but which you know, as I'm sitting there, I'm like, I can see why you spring for the more.
I do, yeah.
Because it's just
if I'm gonna go there, I drive, so I have to pay like $40 for parking.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, it's crazy. I mean, they fuck you in the parking. You know,
they know what they're doing, and they exploit every little last thing about it.
But I don't know, like, and it's tough for Springsteen because he changes the set, you know, here and there. So it's like, I have seen him in Philly twice where the second night was better. And just by little increments. It's not that the first night sucked. It's just like the second night was maybe 10 minutes longer. I once saw him on a Thursday in Philly and it exceeded 4 hours. Like, he's not going to do that this time, but it was known as one of the longest shows. And I was like... God damn it. I mean, I got my money's worth. 4 hours and 10 minutes. And you know, like, that guy just never stops, you know? But now I think it's like it's about 3 hours now, you know? Mm-hmm. But I don't know. I don't know which one to go for, you know? Like, I'm actually going this Saturday to Atlantic City, but that's
who's, just... Who's playing down there?
Well, it's a little embarrassing. It's a little embarrassing. It's not wham embarrassing, but I got... It's called an 80s night, you know? So you got... Headliner Rick Springfield. Sorry, I just threw up a little bit, but it's not because of Rick Springfield. Rick Springfield, you know, is a very. I played some of his new. So he's got a new album out, 20 songs.
Oh right, yeah.
The guy, I thought he was 70.
20 songs.
20 songs.
Holy shit!
It's crazy. The guy, I gotta give it to him. He's trying to, and it's not commercial. There's a lot of. It's a weird record.
Oh, wow.
It's almost like a white album without the number 9, you know?
Didn't we listen to, like, a single from it?
Yeah, Automatic. Or is it Paul Rogers? I don't know. Paul Rogers has a new song, too.
Well, Paul Rogers, we listened to the one you said they were pretty much only releasing that one first because
right.
the album itself is only, like, 8 songs.
Yeah, but what they do now is they release a song or two before it's the full right. album. So even if it was a full-length album, it would have been released. And that's a good song. So, I mean, that's impressive. But Rick Springfield, you know, he's a tough guy to like, you know, because, like, like, a lot of people make fun of him because he used to be on a soap opera, and he used to be, like, Jesse's Girl was a huge hit.
Oh, that was him, okay.
And, but if you get to know him and you see him live, he's an amazing guitar player. Like, the guy from the Foo Fighters looks up to him. What's his name?
What?
The guy from the Foo Fighters looks up to him. The guy from the Foo Fighters?
Oh, Dave Grohl.
Dave Grohl looks up to Rick Springfield. Okay. So, Rick Springfield's got rock cred. Even though the average listener wouldn't know that because he's got some cheesy songs, right. It's the Bryan Adams syndrome. Bryan Adams is a cool rocker, but he's got some cheesy songs. Mm-hmm. So a lot of bands are like that. They teeter between.
Well, a lot of like the biggest hits were that those crowd pleaser titles.
Yeah. Like for example, REO Speedwagon have some cheesy songs, but they're an excellent rock band if you see them live,
right.
So it's very weird. And so Rick Springfield is an amazing guitar player, like shockingly amazing guitar player. And I don't love every song, but the songs that are good are really good. So the new record, I don't love every song, but it's a very, it's an experimental record. And I thought he was 72. He's 74.
Oh, shit.
It's crazy. Like so for him to even try to do something risky is commendable.
Yeah.
So, and I just wish he wouldn't take his shirt off. He takes his shirt off at the end of the show. We don't need to see that. I mean, he's in great shape, but I'm not gay, and I don't need to see a naked...
See, apparently Iggy Pop still does that.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen him?
Oh, my God.
Even Iggy Pop in his prime was not something that you want to look at naked.
Right.
And well, now I know, and now he's like that, but 30 years later.
God, yeah.
I mean, he's like Keith Richards. Dead. So Rick Springfield is the headliner. And you got the Hooters, another band from the 80s. Do you know the Hooters?
Sounds familiar.
So it's another embarrassing like name, Hooters, you know? But they're actually, they're from Philadelphia. So they actually wrote the Joan Osborne song, What If God Was One of Us.
Oh, okay.
They wrote Time After Time for Cyndi Lauper.
Oh, okay.
They wrote a lot of good songs. And so, and then, you know, not every song is good, but they're a good band, you know. And I'd say their second record was actually really good. And they had some songs in Miami Vice as well.
Oh, really?
Always a good barometer of good music, you know. So they're in the bill. And then you got Tommy Two Tone, who wrote 8675309.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what else he's going to do, because that's the only song.
So why do they call it Ladies Night?
They call it 80s, not Ladies.
Oh, I thought you said Ladies.
No, 80s. It's like something about 80s, because they're all 80s hits.
Oh, right.
And another guy, Paul Young, who had that song, Every Time You Go Away, You Take a Piece of Me. It's kind of a schmaltzy. I'm not crazy. I'm sure he's good, but... So I did the same thing last year. It was another 80s, and it was Rick Springfield headlining. He's always headlining. And then last year was Men at Work, and which was, you know, it's like this time it's the Hooters, and it's Atlantic City, which is kind of an annoying drive. It's like 2 hours, but when you get there, it's cool. You just park for free, and then you just walk around the casinos. Back in the day, you could smoke a cigarette, you know, and then you just walk into the arena. It's like so easy.
Oh, nice.
So it's fun. Mm. So I got that. That's easy. I got that. But then Springsteen's a big question. Like, which... I can only probably see one show. Maybe two, if I really want to put it on the credit card. And
so I would say go to one at each venue, maybe.
Yeah, I know. But what if... See, but this is what's going to happen. I'm going to go to the first night in Philly. It's going to be so good, I'm going to want to see the second night.
Right.
And see, also... You know, you would think that Springsteen would be amazing in New Jersey, but the best shows are always in Philly. Hmm. Always. I don't know why. Philly,
this song... like the acoustics of the arena, or...
No, it's the Philly vibe.
Oh, yeah?
Every band that plays New York or Philly or Jersey, the Philly's always the better show.
Huh.
Notoriously.
You can smell the aroma of cheesesteaks in the air.
It's something. There's something about Philly. I think in Jersey, maybe Springsteen feels like he has to deliver. It's pressure because he's from Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe he's a little constrained.
Mm.
I mean, this is all very little increments. He's great in Jersey, too. But for some reason, Philly is transcendent.
Mm-hmm.
So between the Jersey shows and the Philly shows, I'm going to want
to... Rocky Balboa effect.
You know, there's a Rocky Balboa effect.
Yeah.
There's a Rocky Balboa effect. Rocky Balboa is not going to be good in Jersey. He's going to be good in Philly. You know? I mean, why would Rocky Balboa doesn't have any rock songs anyway? Although he does have songs in Rhinestone. You know what we should do? We should. I mean, I know there's a copyright issue, but we should once play Rhinestone and just like do our show with that in the background. Nobody's gonna care about the copyright because like nobody has seen it. You know? I was actually thinking today. I was thinking to myself, self. I said, you know, Scorsese has some movies I haven't seen, like Robert De Niro and that weird movie called The King of Comedy.
Oh, I like that. That one's pretty good.
Have you seen it?
I've seen it.
So I saw parts of it, and I was like, it's not really funny because he's like a weird character.
Yeah, it's
a weird tone kind of movie. But you think it's worth seeing?
I think so. I think Scorsese, he hasn't. I believe I've seen like all of his narrative.
Right.
And there really weren't any that disappoint me. Like, there are definitely some I liked more than others.
For sure.
Easily, I think his worst one is Boxcar Bertha. That was, like, his second one.
Yeah.
And that was back when he was, like, working with Roger Corman. And it was just
amazing. I hated the one with the fucking priests, you know, the one from a few years ago with...
Silence.
Ugh, I hate it. I walked out of that one. It was, like, 6 hours long and... I really don't have the time.
Right.
And I still have to see the second part of Oppenheimer, you know?
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Like, I really, an hour and a half, like, if I had sex, a great sex, I could only do it for an hour and a half. I can't do 3 hours.
You're very busy.
I'm very busy. My attention span is, you know, but I probably won't see Oppenheimer now, because it's now...
Why not, no?
I mean, I pass by it every day, you know?
Like, it just got, like, it's run in IMAX extended to, like, the end of August, I believe.
But I'm not going to see it in IMAX.
Right.
That's too loud for me. Right. I like it, like, the British, I like it in a certain frequency. Mm-hmm. I like, what did you say, the expended...
Do you like to watch on, like, a little tiny TV in, like, standard definition?
I like TVs with, like, the UFOs, with, like, the antennas. The antenna,
yeah.
Yeah.
You like to see the static kind of like going up and down the screen.
You know, did you ever have that? I had that when I was a kid. Like, I really did watch TV like that, you know?
But I used to have a TV, like, when I was really little, where you kind of had to adjust it only had, like, a few channels, and it was,
yeah.
Like, I had to adjust the thing just to make it clear, the picture clear, yeah.
Yeah, like, my grandmother had a TV like that, and it was, like, in upstate New York, and you got, like, ABC, NBC, CBS, and that's it. And maybe, like, an obscure local station, but it was all foggy and weird. And it's, like, so primitive. I mean, like, look how far we've come.
You really have.
Do you know that when I was growing up in the Holy Land in Israel, we had one channel? Like, literally one channel?
Oh, yeah.
Like, there was nothing else. Damn. And in that channel, there was, like, a lot of Jewish, Hebrew shit. So, like...
Makes sense.
Right, so American shows were, like, very few and far between.
Mm-hmm.
So when there was a show that was halfway decent, the whole country watched it. Like, all 3 million Jews.
Damn.
Because there was nothing else on. There is a show that you would like, but it's in subtitles. It's called Fauda. It's a very good Israeli series that you would really like because it's violent, it's cool.
Oh, nice.
And the guys are, like, real... It's, like, real... You know, Israeli guys are, like, real men. They're not like me or you. Right. They're, like, real men, you know? And the guy from Fauda is, like, you know, it's like kind of, like, 24-ish, you know?
Oh, yeah.
But not as... Like, 24 is kind of sensational. There's no way one guy can do all that.
Right.
So Fauda is more realistic, you know? Yeah. It's like a unit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's got, like, it's really gritty, and it's like not Hollywood. It's like, yeah. It's like real, man. So you would like it.
Nice.
If you could fit it into your busy schedule.
Hey, you know, I see how to find it.
Well, it's on Netflix.
I don't have Netflix.
What? Actually, I was surfing the other day. It is on one of the channels.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like a Jewy channel. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd have to put on the list.
Yeah. Well, if you could pry yourself away from the Teenage Mutant Turtles. Were you the only one in the theater?
Oh, no, I was actually pretty busy that day. And that was a Tuesday. I wound up calling out of work just for the hell of it.
You called out of work? Oh, can you imagine?
Not to see
it. I know.
It just happened to be
the day. Can you imagine if your boss knew that you, you actually went to see that movie? Like, you called out of work.
Well, it's funny because, like, I called out because I just wasn't feeling it. You know, I was...
Right. The work.
Yeah, and I was just like,
Right.
So I was looking. I was like, what's playing at the movies today?
Right.
And I was expecting it not to come out until, because that was a Tuesday. I was expecting it not to get released until like that Thursday.
Right.
And actually, for some reason, was playing that Tuesday.
Right. Right.
It's like, all right, I'll go
see. And it was okay, right?
Yeah, that was pretty good. I fell asleep toward the end, but it was pretty good.
So, okay. So here we go with a summary of the episode. Now, what have we learned? God damn it, what have we learned? Have we learned, would you replicate, if Metallica's playing next week, you got to take a train. You know what you're going to do. Would you go again? They're doing a different set list.
Nah, because I wouldn't want to spend that money.
Somebody gives you a ticket for free.
Probably not. There'd have to be some more time between.
Somebody posted today on the McDermott chat thing that somebody had, because Springsteen's playing Chicago tonight. Somebody said, I have two tickets to Springsteen. They're free for a McDermott fan. Anybody who wants it. I'm like, you're offering free tickets to Springsteen and nobody, there was no takers for the first hour. I don't know what happened. I'm sure somebody took them.
Holy shit.
But for free.
That's fucked up.
That's crazy, right? Because, yeah. Okay. So you would say no. You would say no.
Not this soon.
What? Too soon.
Too soon.
Too soon. Wow.
I say, give me a few months. I'd say sure.
Huh. Okay. So what you're saying is you need time to recuperate.
I do.
You need time to process.
Although it was interesting. I was at work yesterday or the day before. And not the day before. It was yesterday. And I did have a little bit of a jonesing for actually being there in the moment when they were performing.
Right.
Now, see, okay, if I could just isolate that.
Right.
Sure, I'd go next weekend. Right. If I could remove the train ride.
I know.
Remove the people.
But that's what I call mind yoga, you know? Like you have to train yourself. This is what Lifeless Dave, my brother, is not good at. You know, I took him to Jackson Browne last year. You know, we grew up with Jackson Browne's music. It's, you know, I had to move heaven and earth to get him there. And then he we're sitting there. He goes, what songs is he going to do? I'm like, you know what? Just like enjoy, you know, whatever happens, as is. You know, he's like, he starts playing. He's like, I don't know that song. I don't know. Is this from a new record? I don't. You know, like it took. I mean, he finally was able to relax and get into it. But you have to. And then he's like, somebody's. I can't see. Somebody's dancing over there. It's really distracting. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I don't see the person that I can remove myself from. That's one of my good qualities. Like I can. I mean, sure, things get to me, but I can really. I would never have noticed that person dancing if Lifeless Dave wasn't, you know. Right. So that's what you got to do. Like,
I will say, like,
you have to train your mind to.
Last thing. So, okay, so the minutes before they came on, I was kind of like.
Yeah, I know.
But the second they came on.
Right.
It was like a 180.
Yeah, yeah. Same with Springsteen. Like, you, I cursed the whole fucking audience before the show. Like, fucking bastards, you know, everybody's, you know, lines to the bathroom. And then as soon as he starts playing, everybody becomes like a community, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's, you have to know what you're getting yourself into.
Yeah.
And if you're able to lose yourself in the moment, that's, I have to fucking fly to Chicago like 2 weeks from now. You know, every time I'm on a fucking airplane, I'm like, I hate fucking airplanes. You know, the lines, they fucking frisk you. They have to get your belt off. Mm-hmm. For a concert? I mean, British Mark is going to be there. So, you know, that's one thing, you know. But but last time I did it, I was like, but then the concert stuff was, you know, amazing. So, life is, you know.
About trade-offs.
Yes, it's about trade-offs, and I think you have to decide. What, you know, like if you, I don't know if I don't go to Springs, if I don't, I'm gonna feel like I'm gonna have fear of missing out. You know, like if I don't go at least to one show,
and I'm sure, like if I didn't go to Metallica when they were here,
right.
I probably would have felt that too.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. So now you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have fear of missing out all the time. You know, like
yeah, I've kind of lost that.
But well, I mean, because we only live once.
That's the working theory.
That's the working theory. So what if right now we're missing out? Like today was a beautiful day. We could have gone to the beach, you know.
Well, I was working, but. But anyway, so we're about to wrap up.
Okay,
did you want to promote our Instagram?
So we have an Instagram page. It's It's flying off the shelves.
What's it called?
It's called... I think it's called As Is Danny and Ryan, I think.
Okay.
All right. I think that's your... Because As Is was taken.
If so, you just look... If you just do a combination...
Yeah, put As Is Danny and Ryan.
You'll eventually find us.
You'll find us. And you can please fucking make a comment or something. I mean, it's like we're out there in the sea of loneliness where nobody gives a fuck if we live or die. Yeah. Anyway, whatever. Fuck all of you people.
Bye.